You're listening to Wet Shaving Talk, powered by Sharpologist.com, where we're dedicated to preserving the art and skill of classic shaving. I'm your host, Joe Borelli, and today is May 10th, 2021. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast at the end of a very busy week for me. I can tell you that much for myself personally, and I think for the rest of the world, if you think about it. We had Mother's Day on Sunday, Cinco de Mayo a couple days before that. It's just been really crazy. In addition to that, I had also my son's birthday was on Friday, his second birthday, believe it or not. For those of you who have been listening a few years, I remember when I announced that I was having a son. And it's just, I can't believe it's already been 2 years. I can't believe he's 2 years old. So it's nuts. Time flies. Everybody says it, you know, everybody tells you the same thing. They say, hey, look, cherish all every moment because it really does go by fast. And I could say, yes, it does in everything, not even just having a child, but just being in life in general. You know, you look at the time and it just keeps going quickly. So, I mean, enjoy it while you can. That's all I could say was what a rush for this week with everything going on. But a fun week, though. Got to admit, it's been a very, very fun week. So first off, for those of you listening, if you do celebrate, if you are a mother and you're celebrating Mother's Day, happy Mother's Day to you, and happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. And for those celebrating with their mom or can't, I hope everybody does had a great Mother's Day and a great weekend. Today on the show, we're going to talk about my experience with cold water shaving. It's something that I actually never done before, and really I didn't look down upon it. I just never tried it, never really thought about it, and you know, I just went ahead and tried it out for a couple of weeks, and I'll tell you my experience with it. Actually, it's a lot of positives. It was really, really, really fun to begin with. The BSTs are back and open in major forums, and that just shows that the lockdowns finally for COVID-19 are starting to slow down a little bit. A couple of the major forums are starting to open up their buy sell trade. Little subreddits or subforums in the forum aspect of the world of the wet shaving world, excuse me. So that's really exciting to see that they're back and operating, and everything's starting to go back to normal. Hopefully, we'll see some meetups coming up soon too. Rare items, modern versus vintage. So I was looking at a few posts out there and people talking about what's your rarest piece of your collection, and everybody's going, "Oh, I have this rare old razor. I don't know how many are made." But really, the production numbers in some of those old razors are way more than modern razors. And we'll talk a little bit about that, too. And collector's corners, Etcher stones. That's right. Etcher stones are a German stone that is for straight razor shaving. Probably one of the most collectible stones out there. There's several different grades of them out. We'll get a little bit of a talk. We'll talk a little bit about Etcher stones and how to collect them and what to look for when you're getting them as well. So guys, without further ado, let's get on with the show. So recently I was just tried it by accident. I was in a rush. I had to get to work and I just did a cold water shave before I even went into the shower just to see how it worked. So what I did was I prepped out a few things. I got my shaving bowl, my scuttle, actually used a scuttle, which I didn't really need because I didn't need to keep the lather warm. But I'd used it anyway, and I basically bloomed my soap with cold water and just made a lather in the bowl and just went quickly on my face. And I didn't even realize, I guess, I was doing cold water shaving until I kind of did the cold water shaving, I guess, if that makes any sense. So shaving cold water, be honest, at first I was thinking, okay, you know, I really like hot water because it feels like the, you know, bristles on your head, on your face get kind of like start standing up at like a 90 degree angle. You open up your face, get all the oils off your face and clean it up very nicely. It feels good too. So I did everything my usual prep with this cold water shave. I did a clean, I washed my face, I did everything like that. I just didn't take a shower. And honestly, the first couple of passes on the first maybe 3 or 4 times I did it were a little rough. I'm not going to lie. It was a little rough, hurt a little bit. But as I let my face like sit with the actual lather, it wasn't really that bad. In fact, it was just pretty much the same thing. It was the same performance I usually get with hot water and like a hot lather. So I tried it for a few weeks, and a couple of weeks now. I'm up to 2 weeks. I started just experimenting with cold water shave one day, hot water shave the other. And I've also been doing, since being a head shaver, I do the same thing with my head. So I've been doing that as well. and I haven't really noticed much of a difference in performance on my razors. And I've tried a couple different razors. I tried a few modern razors actually, and a few vintage razors as well, all double-edged. I haven't tried it with the straight razor yet. I'm not sure if that's something or some route that I'm going to go right now with cold water shaving. I think I'm going to hold off on that just for a little bit longer. But I also, guys, another thing I do is I change out blades every shave because I do a head shave as well and a face shave with two passes of each. So usually my blades are pretty much done by the time I'm done one time. I probably could get another shave out of them, maybe even two more. But I just like it being sharp and really being, you know, nice and keen. So I would recommend that too. I think with the keener blade, it felt better with the cold water shave. But you know, anyway, so this is how it started. I just started doing a couple cold water shaves. I started using cream first before I did soap. I used Art of Shaving cream. I just mixed it with some cold water and did that first, just so I can guess. I guess so I can get a really consistent lather on it. Tried it out. Worked out very well. I was really happy with the results after practicing probably about 3 or 4 times. And I think. I might actually prefer it. I don't know if that's something that you guys have felt or if you can relate to, but living in South Florida where it's hot, I'd say 8 months out of the year, it's in the 80s. It's over 80 degrees, right? And right now it's about 80. This week it was in the mid to high upper 80s. It was a little bit rough going from 60s, 70s to 80s. And I know there's some of you guys cringing out there. Some of you live in areas where it's cold most of the time, right? And you're like, oh, this guy's complaining. But yes, in Florida, we do wear sweatshirts if it's under 70 degrees. It's just, that's how it is. And you'll see everybody with their Uggs on and they bring out their winter clothes if it's 65 degrees outside or 60 degrees. So yes, 85 degrees is a big change. Yeah. And so using a cold water shave right now with 80 to 90 degrees, it is feeling pretty nice and refreshing, especially if I'm using something with a menthol in it. So yeah, I got to be honest with you. I liked it. I really did like it. It did take a little bit of a learning curve. I did notice I need to use just a little bit more water, I guess. I like a little bit more of a runny lather with the cold water shave. I don't know why. It just seems that's the way I've been just loading my brush and doing it. And I've been trying brush. I tried brush lathering. Bowl lathering and just, you know, face lathering. And I did notice that the bowl lathering was much better than face lathering just for the cold aspect. I guess it just builds it up a little bit better. Gives you a little bit more control over the lather. So cold water shaving, my experience with it, I had a great time. I really enjoyed it. I think I'm going to continue to do so here or there. I don't think I'm going to eliminate it. Hot water shaving, you know, altogether. But cold water shaving was fun. And I let me know your thoughts, guys. If you have any thoughts, send me an email at joe.wetshavingnews@gmail.com. And we can talk about it a little bit and hear your experience. Because I know not everybody's positive like mine. I'm sure there's some negative ones out there too. And I just want to hear everybody's point of view. Somebody, you know, a different point of view with this aspect of shaving. Just so I can see if I'm doing anything right or if I can get some notes or some pointers, you know, to do it better. So the BSTs are back open in the major forums such as Badger and Blade, Straight Razor Place, and The Shave Den. All their BSTs are back open. BST means buy, sell, trades. This is where you can just buy and sell trade razors. You know, a lot of people were worried with COVID-19 being such an intense thing and going on and just being able to trade and buy and sell trade and really the whole thing is just worrying about everybody's safety, right? And now that they're starting to open it up with, you know, with restrictions and, you know, with a lot of disclaimers, it's just really good to see that sense of normalcy coming back to us. You know, it's been a really long year and a half, I'd say, or a year and a couple of months since this whole thing happened. And a lot of people had to change their lives over. And, you know, for me, it was just a lot of it was just sitting and watching eBay and just sitting at home and watching, you know, YouTube videos on guides and stuff like that, just how people have been doing it and with wet shaving and just learning a couple more things here and there, which is really, it was really fun to do so, just to really spend some time and just really learn, really focus on my collection and cleaning it up and just spending some time at home and spending some time with my stuff. And I actually bought a couple things. You know, I did get a Grail razor last year, my last one that I was looking for. So I'm pretty set right now in my collection. I've been really enjoying my stuff this year as well. So glad to see the BSCs are back open. And I think with this is just one step closer to getting meetups back. And that's something I can't wait to do again. I think I'm really going to travel for the next meetup, either whether the Maggards meetup or the Big Shave West or whatever it is going on, because I got to see some of you guys, man. This has been pretty rough being alone and being very quiet out there, you know, just talking on the mic and you know, emails here and some conversations via like Facebook and on the forums. I really haven't seen any wet shavers, to be honest with you, in over almost a year and a half. I haven't been into a meetup and just seen a bunch of stuff out there. So I can't wait to do that again myself, and I'm sure you guys can too. So BSDs are back open, and that's a step to closer to meetups. So that's a great thing to hear. You know, I was really a couple days ago, I was looking at some forums and just reading up on some stuff on wet shaving and looking at rare items. You know, a lot of people talking about, oh, my rarest item in my collection. It's a sub forum on Badger and Blade. And I was just really just going through them like, wow, you know, I had so many pages on it. And it was over 10 years old, this thread. And I've read it before, but I've just never really got into it. So I started really looking at it. And I was just wondering, rare items, how many rare items are there vintage-wise? Everybody's talking about, oh, I have a bottom dial. Oh, I have a red dot. Those are rare. But in reality, are they as rare as a Wolfman Razor BBS-1 that's only 400 were made? Or, Paradigm, Diamondback, or Titanium-2, where there was only 150 of them made, you know, ever, and they're not going to be made again. Those to me are some really rare razors, because if with only 421 of them made, of say like the BBS-1 or say the Diamondback, right? There's only, I said 100 of them made and that was it. That's all they're going to make. You know, you look at 100 of them made and they're all out there. And we see them posted as for Shave of the Days and all that stuff. And it just looks at, you look at it and you say, wow, you know, this razor is rare. It's only 100 of them made, but are they, you know, do we think they're rare because they're posted, because we know the people that are using them. We know the people that made them. Or are we looking at like a Gillette double ring where there was 100,000 of them made, or 60,000 bottom dials made, or 100,000, you know, red dots made, right? Or Gillettes. You know, you look at those as rare because they're very desirable, and they are rare because they're in relation to everything else where they made a million of them. A million Fat Boys and stuff like that. Yeah, it is relatively rare, but in the wet shaving world, imagine if only 100 of them were made, such as like those five adjustment bottom dials. There's only like two or three known in the world right now, probably because there's only several thousand made. We're talking about 421 BBS-1s and 100 Diamondbacks made. You know, just those two examples. Those only 100 people are ever going to be able to hold them at the same time. You know, and that's just what we're looking at. So rare items, modern versus vintage. You know, a lot of people are having that debate, and I think the modern razors are most of them are more rare than the vintage. I mean, you're looking at a Wolfman razor, he's only made about 2,000 or 3,000 of them, maybe less in the 5 or 6 years that he's been open, right? That James has been making razors, and they're very desirable. And Gillette made a million Fat Boys, so, or they made 65,000 bottom dials, you know, or say they made 80,000 toggles. Yeah, think of that. Compared to that, in comparison, yes, there's less. But the thing is, people are holding on to them more and more actively posting about them. So they're not as rare, I guess, as per se. But they're really rare in relation to the amount of people out there and the amount of ability of finding one. They are actually technically rarer than some of the vintage razors that have been made in 60 or 70 years. So that's just something to think about. Just my thoughts on that. And if you have any thoughts as well, you know, always feel free to email me, because I thought it was just really interesting just to talk about like some rare items, a modern or vintage. You know, it's just you see the debate all the time. Oh, this is rare, that's rare. But really, it's the modern stuff. Most of the modern special edition razors are rarer than the vintage model, than their vintage counterparts. All right, Collector's Corner Etcher Stones. These are stones that are very well known in the wet shaving world for straight razor sharpening, right? For honing. Now, the Etcher Company has been around since the late 1700s, and they closed their doors, I think, permanently in the 1950s. So you're looking at, if you have a stone right now, even if it's a modern stone from them, it's at least 60 years old, right? So you're looking at Etcher Stones, that was a big company made for really for not only for straight razors, for barbers and all that, but it was also for woodworking. They're very good. There's different grades of them, different colors. You look at like the blue-green or the green Etcher Stones, which are really the most desirable. Those are a little bit softer than the harder ones in the dark blues and the blue. Or the blue greens, you know, you have a little bit blended. And these are all natural Thuringian stones from Germany. Remember, a Thury, if you hear the term Thury, those are from the same region, same area. Etcher is just a company. So when you hear Etcher, Etcher is a company, right? And but it really is a Thuringian stone, or if hopefully I'm saying it right. So looking at an Etcher stone, you know, I was very fortunate one day I did buy an Etcher stone. I do have one. I use it to finish on my straight razors. You know, I just, something that I've always wanted because, I guess because of the name, I got into it. And you're looking at the cheapest these will come around are, you know, for the dark blues, you're looking for about $200-$300, depending on the size of it, as long as the label's on the back. To the blue greens, to the greens, where they can be running around $1,500 a stone. And they work great. I mean, but I will be honest, you can get similar results off synthetic stones, and you can get really good results off of, you know, like a codicil, because I love codicils too. Those are natural Belgian stones, and they're still being mined and produced today. Etcher has been out of business for a while, so it's a collectible, and you're really buying a lot with a quality name. I mean, there's really not much you can say about Etcher stones. They really put the collecting of stones on the map, I'd say, even with woodworkers as well, not just straight razors and wet shaving enthusiasts. So Etcher was around for 1794, I believe they started. And they really started running at the end, where they were doing composite stones at the end, where they were taking basically their natural stones and taking the dust from that and then condensing it into a regular stone, which actually worked pretty well. Celebrated water stones and stuff like that. And that's how you would be able to identify an Etcher stone. Now, there's other companies out there, Etcher & Company, Etcher & Sons. And you can see the picture in the show notes. This is a basic Etcher stone right in the show notes, to where this is really the original type from the turn of the century, 1900s, really where this is the most desirable label that you'd want to see. A lot of people will actually shellac them on or use nail polish or polish on them to keep that label intact, so when you can use the actual stone, it won't come off with the water. So bottom line is, with an Etcher stone, you know, I'm not the most knowledgeable person on this in this area, right? I'm not, but I have used one and I have enjoyed it. And I have, other than the colors and stuff, I'm not too sure about the labeling and stuff. If you see something that's called a celebrated water home, that's usually one of the Etchers. It's like in those little wooden boxes, celebrated water home. It is an Etcher. It is made by Etcher for the most part. And I believe those are the composite ones, where they were condensed down of dust or old stones, where they ground them down or something like that. But I'm not 100% sure, because I actually own one myself, and it's pretty hard. It feels like a natural stone. It works great. These stones usually work very well with water or oil. I would highly recommend using water, because if you use oil, it doesn't really come off after a certain amount of time. It is technically a natural stone, so it's partially porous, so it might absorb some of the oil. Using a slurry stone or a rubbing stone, rubber, is you just basically make a slurry by joining the two stones together and making like a little milky bath of water that can go in there, and it actually helps sharpen the stone. And if you dilute that a little bit, you can actually get a different edge. It'll harden up again. So more slurry would be more grit, like a little bit more coarser, and then less slurry would be more of a smoother surface. These stones are really, they do take some time to learn if you do get one. And you got to remember, when you get one, especially an all natural real one, you're talking about something that's about 100 years old. So do treat it with care. One thing that's good is there is an abundance of them out there. There are a lot of Etcher stones out there, but the problem is you will pay a lot of money, anywhere from $200 to $300 for an entry level dark blue. Again, like I said, to anywhere from maybe $800 to $1,500 for the green ones, which are the most desirable and the rarest. And that's just really about it with the Etcher Stones. They're really fun to collect if you are. There's a couple guys on YouTube that have a good one. The Woodworker on YouTube, he sold away his collection, I think about 10 years ago. He had like over 100 Etcher Stones, maybe more. He had some new old stock. He had some really rare stuff. And I know he made a pretty decent amount of money when he retired. I forgot the guy's name, but if you look up the Woodworker and Etcher, you'll find it right there on YouTube. I mean, it's awesome. This probably one of the most knowledgeable guy on these stones in the world right now. I mean, honestly, look at it. The company's been out of business for 60 years, so there's not like there's any people you can really talk to that used to work there. All right, guys. So that does conclude our show this week. Again, really busy week coming up that just passed by with all these holidays in 1 week and everything going on. And for me, it was crazy. So I really hope you guys enjoyed the show this week, as always. And I really wanted to say special thanks to all you guys out there for listening and really being still into wet shaving and still being safe out there during the pandemic. It seems like we're starting to get a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. So I hope everybody's really starting to get out there a little bit more. And hopefully we can see each other again soon in the meetings or in the meetups or at Pasteur's Pharmacy. Hopefully I get to go there again. I haven't been there in a couple of years. I'm really looking forward to getting back into the wet shaving world. So guys, until the next show, remember our show is powered by Sharpologist.com, which your father didn't teach you. Special thanks to you guys, the listeners, and of course Mark, aka Mantic59. Our next show will be 2 weeks from now, which will be the 24th of May. And until then, shave straight and shave safe. Bye bye now.